Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, NFL writer and NFL draft writer. Follow him on Twitter at RyanWilsonCBS. He's one of my favorites. How tall are you?
5'10 3/4. I can't say 5'11 because my wife's like, you're not 5'11.
Lima always says 5'11. He will not say 6 foot.
I don't round up.
Why?
I know.
Why wouldn't you round up?
It's crazy. By the way, we're doing the Dan Patrick show right now. You have to have the ding after he gave his. After he gave his.
He didn't give the weight. He didn't give the weight. How much you weigh?
Oh, I see. 185 this morning.
You're in pretty good shape. Congratulations. Well done. Do you think Tim Tebow could work as a tight end still in the NFL?
No, I heard Lima talking about it. Here's why I don't think he can.
Did you just call Lima Lima?
He did. I love
you
it.
You called Lima Lima. He listens to the show. He's in.
Anthony. I'll say Anthony. Actually, I got out of my depth, and I fell out of the boat and drowned immediately.
It's okay.
Anthony. So here's why. I talked to Shannon Sharp about this back in 2011, maybe, when we first had these conversations about Ken Tebow played some other position because we knew he wasn't very good at the quarterback. And Sharp was at CBS at the time, and I just sort of ran it by him because, you know what, here's the thing. You have to want to play tight end because it's more than just being 6'3 and 240, whatever Tebow weighs, and being strong and being able to run. Does he want to block people? Does he want to have to fight his way up the line of scrimmage? Is he going to want to get tackled downfield? You know, I know he did it behind the line of scrimmage at Florida, but it's a different mindset. And Sharp at the time, maybe he's changed his opinion, wasn't convinced of it. And that's my only hesitation because Tebow said from Jump Street, I'm a quarterback. And I'm fine with that if that's the position you think you can make it at. But I don't. Has he had such a change of heart that he can feel like he can do all those things that he was unwilling to do 10 years ago? I'm not sure. And also in college football, where all these guys coming out are so athletic at tight end. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you know, David Njoku, you have a firm receipt for him. But those guys, everyone coming out is that type of player playing in that type of college offense. So I think it would be extremely difficult for Tebow to make the leap from, you know, minor league baseball player back to the NFL at a different position.
Yeah, it's probably not going to go down. It's probably not going to work. I just love and hope that the NFL continues to evolve where we are a little more open-minded about where guys can play. I mean, I'm not talking about Vrabel going out and catching passes or anything like that, but when Terrell Pryor, when I saw him at wide receiver, a guy who had no idea how to run a route, when I saw him catch 1,000 yards, I'm like, there have to be more guys out there that can do different things on NFL field. It just takes coaches being a little more open-minded about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think the potential pothole you might run into is that sometimes, and Tebow was like this, Lamar Jackson was like this as well, they're like, I'm quarterback. I don't want to be pigeonholed as athlete, and maybe they would be unwilling because of what's happened prior where guys have been moved positions. But you're right. I mean, Terrell Pryor is a great example. He was not going to be an NFL quarterback. And, you know, they tried it at Oakland, and it didn't work out. I think they actually beat the Steelers 1 year with Terrell Pryor, but I don't want to talk about that. But in general, he was much better as, quote-unquote, athlete. So, you know, if Tebow maybe, you know, could talk to his former self, to the younger self, we could see what that would look like. Because obviously he has the physical tools to play tight end, but, you know, it's a mindset, and more than anything, I feel like, just based on sort of what Shannon Sharp was explaining. And, you know, for as much as Shannon Sharp, you can love him or hate him, I think he understands the tight end position pretty well.
Ryan Wilson joining us here on the show. What did you think of the Browns draft?
Liked it. Liked it a lot.
Did you know anybody who didn't? Isn't it weird?
No, I don't think so. My only concern, like, I love Greg Newsome. I think he's going to be really good. I love the idea of adding one more young member to that secondary. you know, Grant Delpit and Greedy Williams have struggled with injuries, so hopefully they're fully healthy. And I think Andrew Berry said this doesn't mean anything for Greedy's future. It's just we're stocking up. JLK, obviously, you know, many people thought he was a first-round pick, and for him to fall that far is a huge get. I don't think there are any concerns with the medicals. I think there are just more questions that had gone unanswered because of the pandemic. My biggest question was Anthony Schwartz in the third round, because I thought he was more of a mid-day three guy. And here's the thing, you know, draft analysts, quote unquote, you try to figure out where these guys should be ranked, and then you put out your big boards and pretend you're like part of an NFL team. But the reality is you don't know where these guys are going. You don't know the fits. You don't know the conversations that the 20-plus evaluators are having for each team when they just decided to select a player. And here's the thing with Anthony Schwartz, and you guys have probably talked about this over the past week. He was in an offense that wasn't great at Auburn. Excuse me. Bo Nix wasn't great, and he struggled to get the ball downfield. Anthony Schwartz, for me, feels like Mike Wallace. He's just a sprinter who can run really fast in a straight line. He doesn't have a lot of wiggle at the line of scrimmage. That's okay when you're coming to an offense like the one in Cleveland where the running game's set, where you have Odell and Jarvis, and you're not asked to do a whole bunch. And you can just stretch the field Mike Wallace style for the first year and a half of your career and create headaches for the secondary that you're facing and then sort of grow into that role because he's not a finished product. But other than that, I mean, they hit on every single pick. And maybe my favorite pick of this whole class for the Cleveland is Demetri Felton out of UCLA. Running back in college, played wide receiver at the Senior Bowl, excelled at both. And he's just sort of this mix-it-up back that you bring in when you're tired of just running people over with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So this team is really good. And this team is so good, in fact, that they – I haven't seen the odds recently, but they must be among the – they have to be close in terms of being the favorite – in the division ahead of Baltimore.
You're the second person who said that today. One of our hosts, well, our one host who joins us on Fridays at 8 o'clock every Friday, Garrett Bush, said that they're the best in the division. We were like, are they the best in the division, or do they have to wait until they beat Baltimore to be the best in the division?
Well, I mean, look, if they're going to be the best in the division, they're going to have to beat Baltimore. But the Ravens, look, that offense has some questions. And I know they drafted two wide receivers. Another signed Sammy Watkins. They wanted to sign Smith-Schuster. But they have to be more consistent pushing the ball down the field because their wide receivers weren't consistent last year, and Lamar Jackson struggled at times to push the ball down the field. I think you could even say he took a step back as a passer. They have Mark Andrews, and he feels like their best receiver right now. And we'll see. They didn't have any edge rushers last year. They drafted Jason Owe in round one. Well, that'll help, but you know he's pretty raw. So they do have questions. I think the Browns are a more complete team. And more importantly, you guys know this better than I do, the Browns have actually won games that mattered last year, something they struggled to do when the lights were brightest. You know, they won back-to-back games against Pittsburgh. They should have beaten Kansas City. Those are things that were you couldn't even conceive of 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, you know, when you get that taste, and you talk to veteran players that tell you this, when you get that taste of what it means to win big games, you can do it going forward. And a lot of times when you're first in those games, you're big-eyed and sort of off your game. So I don't think they're afraid of anything in terms of the ability to play in these big games now. And I that's why I like them as the favorites in the division. I mean, if they're not the favorite, they're 1B, a very close 1B behind the Ravens.
Well, we're noticing that the NFL is evolving a little bit more. Browns front office, one of those, what we'd like to think, evolved. You know, maybe the anti David Gettleman type front office. With more and more teams going this way in their front office, are you noticing any trends with the way the draft is carried out with some of these teams?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's funny, anti-Gettleman himself, he traded down. He didn't take solely big people. So I feel like the pressure was on him as well. He realized, like, look, okay, I got to do something different. I'm going to get fired. We'll see if it helps the Giants. I think the Giants did okay in the draft. But overall, it feels like, and you started touching on this, Anthony, with the tight end position, that teams are more willing to take players that do a bunch of different things. I mentioned Demetri Felton. You know, he did go late in the sixth round there. But, you know, years ago, maybe he doesn't get drafted at all. And I feel like you can see Anthony Schwartz is another guy. He's a home run hitter. And we know that the Browns are heavy analytics guys, so I'm sure there's some analytics behind the idea of taking Schwartz, whether it's what he means in that offense, whether it's his measurables in terms of him running in the 4.2s, whatever it is. I do think that's happening. How clear it is, it's not crystal clear to me how this is playing itself out. But, you know, every team has analytics, some more than others. We know Cleveland's been high on that. The Steelers less so. But at the end of the day, if you start winning football games because of it, everyone's going to get on board because it's all about copycat.
Dave Gettleman, does he use analytics?
Have you guys seen the video of him typing on the keyboard, making fun of the analyst? That's one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does personally. I would imagine people in that building try to push things on him. And, you know, obviously it's his call to listen or not listen. But it felt like he listened more this year. Again, I mean, they haven't been a good football team. And I don't. This is make or break for Daniel Jones, for sure, which was the sixth overall pick, which shocked a lot of people. The year before that, mm-hmm. it was Saquon at number two. And, you know, running backs typically don't go that high. Now he traded down. He did something other than just taking fat guys. And he actually got a first-round pick in the future, and he got a playmaker for Daniel Jones. So I think those are all steps in the right direction, even though it's gone against all everything he believes. And to do so, I think it probably was in the team's best interest.
See, because I kind of root for him to do well now, and this is why. I don't want there to just be one way to skin the cat. Like, I believe there's a strong place for analytics and that there's great things that are coming out of analytical minds, even though I'm not as smart as them. I will admit that. But, like, if Dave Gettleman's just like, yeah, I'm not going to trade back and all this other stuff, and then he finds a team he's willing to fleece, which he did with Chicago, and it works out for Dave Gettleman, like, I do want there to be a fight between hardcore Cro-Magnon football guy an analytical point of view guy, and then split the sides and have some fun with it. I don't think it needs to be just one way and that's it.
No, you're right, Ken. That's right. And I think that still goes on. The guys that I talk to talk about the week leading up to the draft, 2 weeks leading up to the draft, where they're in the room setting their draft boards. And people are yelling and screaming. They're not yelling and screaming about equations. They're yelling and screaming about the scouting reports of these players. And look, at the end of the day, you can do all the math you want. You're not going to know anything about the kid as a person unless you're talking to him, talking to the coaches at his college, talking to everyone in that building, talking to his family members, and no amount of math is going to solve that problem. So there's still going to be a human element to it. And you know, I don't know how much math the Patriots do, but I would imagine Bill Belichick is pretty good at sizing up talent. So we saw him last year during the pandemic, right when it hit. He was out in the middle of Tennessee doing these private workouts with a player that I don't even think was drafted. So I don't think that's going to go away. In fact, I think it's going to be perhaps a healthier balance as people sort of figure out how much to weigh one versus the other.
It's been a couple of days. Who do you think had the worst draft?
The Rams did some weird stuff. I mean, the easy punchy bag are the Raiders. But the Raiders, after if you're okay with them taking Trevon Merrick, the safety, in round two, and just swap that with Alex Leatherwood, who went 17th overall, it's a fine draft. The rest of the picks are actually pretty good. But it was sort of interesting what the Rams did because they took Tutu Atwell with their first pick. And Tutu Atwell, and that first pick wasn't until the second round, late second round. Tutu Atwell is a sort of an undersized slot receiver who weighs 149 pounds. And that's fine if you love him, and clearly they did. But you have your Cooper Kupp, you have Robert Woods, you just signed DeSean Jackson. Where's Tutu Atwell playing? You need help along the offensive line. You know, you got Matthew Stafford there. You want to protect him. So that was curious to me. That was one of the most curious picks of the draft. Again, I like Tutu Atwell, but where do you fit him? And he weighs 149. And we're talking, yelling and screaming about Devontae Smith can't play because he's 166. The dude weighs 17 pounds more than Atwell. So that, to me, was a curious decision when a team didn't have a ton of picks at the top of the draft.
I got some people who were pretty defensive with me about the Bengals picks, John Breach being one of them, another person being James Rapine, who's down there, and he's a Cincinnati guy. And because they thought I was going to go typical, like, you have to protect the quarterback. Why don't the Dolphins have to protect all this other stuff? And I said, the problem that I have is not necessarily Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is a good wide receiver, and obviously he's the best wide receiver in the draft. I wasn't taking that away from him. But my problem was, okay, I know where you're going with the second-round pick, and I don't mean to go against the family. I think that was not the right pick to make in the second round. I think it was a bad choice to make in the second round, and I think that could end up costing them.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I was with you. I was Penei Sewell all the way at number five, but I was convinced by the end that they were going to go Jamar Chase. And so my takeaway after the draft was this. Okay, so the Bengals decided we're going to keep Jonah Williams at left tackle and Wiley Reed, or we just signed at right tackle. Whoever we take in round two, it's going to be guard. So they said, okay, we don't care about tackle. We're going Jamar Chase. Second round, we'll get Jackson Carmen. He played outside of Clemson, but we'll probably kick inside in the NFL. So now we have our guard. So however you get there, whether it's going to take Penei Sewell and kick Jonah Williams inside, whatever. They decided the best route for them in terms of maximizing these picks was take Jamar Chase and then get a guard in the second round. And I'm actually okay with that if you're comfortable with Riley Reiss and Jonah Williams as the tackles. Jonah has to stay healthy, which has been a concern for him. Jackson's probably going to be much better inside than he was outside. That, again, I'm okay with that. But if you want to argue that they should have taken Penei Sewell and then got the sixth or seventh wide receiver, I'm willing to listen to that argument. But I think Ja'Marr Chase, at the end of the day, you got to protect Joe Burrow. And if you can do that, and they drafted that was the only offensive lineman they drafted. No, they drafted Deontay Smith. That's right. So they drafted a project out of East Carolina. He's a long-armed, physical guy. He's just got to play more football. If you can protect Joe Burrow, then Ja'Marr Chase is the home run hitter. But that's a huge if. He took a beating last year.
Are you sick and tired of the Aaron Rodgers situation, and how many more days we could be subjected to this?
No, I love it. This is drama, and I love that Schefter dropped it in the middle right before the draft. And
people are hammering him for that. They're hammering him for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine he said on that. And if he did, I don't care. That's fine. It makes for great drama. He didn't tell any lies. He didn't stop making up stuff. He just reported it when he decided to report it. That's, in fact, true. The funniest part is that Tim Tebow just released a statement about working out for the Jaguars, and here comes Adam Schefter from the top rope stealing his thunder. So I love it. I love the drama in Green Bay. I love sort of the inside baseball, sending angry tweets about how much you don't like your boss. And it's crazy. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been known for being the nicest guy in terms of getting along with people. Like, his teammates typically don't complain about him. We heard that one story a few years ago. But in general, he wins, and you put up with whatever comes with the winning. Now, he's vindictive, and he's stubborn, and this is now showing itself again in Green Bay. I don't think he plays again there. I feel like there's like a 5% chance.
Whoa!
High on mine!
Is that high or low?
That's low. 5%? Damn, Sam!
Well, here's the thing. Like, Deshaun Watson, before all the off-field allegations came up, you knew that there was a chance he was going to come back to Houston, even though he said he didn't want to play there. He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Aaron's 36 or 37, however old he is. And he, like I said, the man could hold a grudge. His soon-to-be wife, I think, is out in L.A. And maybe he wants to go out there and do that stuff. And he's
Are we sure that deal is going to get sealed? Come on. There's still time.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I think he is at a point where he's willing to hold that grudge to the point, you know, bite off your nose to spite your face type situation.
Why do people assume Aaron Rodgers is going to be the host of Jeopardy?
I don't think that. I don't think he was. No offense, Aaron, if you're listening. I didn't think you were awesome, lights out in Jeopardy. I thought they were better hosts, co-hosts, temporary hosts. But I think that he might just move to Los Angeles and, you know, he's from California, whatever, and call it quits just to spite the Packers. Like, I think he's that far gone. And look, the man has some reasons to complain. They didn't take a wide receiver at all last year, which is, you can't even wrap your brain around that. They took a quarterback, and then they took a running back, and then they took a tight end. And then this year, they went to round three to take one after the news had come out that he was angry with them, and they sort of threw him a bone with Amari Rodgers. I think he's a good player, but Amari Rodgers might be catching passes from Jordan Love.
Yeah, people were making a big deal about Eric Stokes. I was like, I think that ship has already sailed before they took Eric Stokes. Ryan, I can't thank you enough for the time. You're wonderful during the draft. We'll talk to you again soon because we know that you cover also the NFL as well, and so you're a double threat guy, and we can have you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ken and Lima.
See?
It was better with Lima. The fans like Lima. They like that better. They like, because they think that there's no respect there from the guest to the host, and they like that.
Ton of respect. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson, CBS. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Up next, it's pretty easy to change the culture when you have great players.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.